CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, returned from Great Britain, where he was commenting on the crisis in the Horn of Africa. However, we much need Gregory to comment on another crisis that's right in front of us in the European headlines these last days. This is Reuters. Russian-controlled forces in eastern Ukraine are increasing their combat readiness and have carried out large-scale exercises, according to Ukraine's defense ministry. Within these last hours, Kyiv, alternate pronunciation Kiev, and NATO countries have expressed concern that Russian troop movements near Ukraine's borders could pave the way for a sharp military escalation. The numbers tossed around are loose, but at one point, I did see the print of 114,000 Russian military arrayed along the Ukraine border or in Crimea along Ukraine border. In addition to this poor news, very poor news, we have news from other sources that the U.S. is considering sending extra weaponry to Ukraine because of the fears of Russian invasion. We already reported that the United Kingdom is sending extra weaponry to Ukraine. The additional matter is whether the U.S. military advisors will go to Ukraine to work with the Ukraine army, which itself, several days past, was exercising along the Crimean frontier. In other words, what we're looking at is one great big mystery. Will Russia move? And if it does that end Ukraine as an independent state? Gregory, a very good evening to you. Does Russia deploy 114,000 combat troops as a gesture? Where is this heading? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, I think it is a gesture, but it's one which is designed to achieve political outcomes without resorting to actual kinetic action. I don't believe that Russia itself will engage in direct military action against the armed forces of Ukraine, unless the Ukrainian forces themselves initiate such action, particularly on the Crimean border, in the hope from Kyiv that they'll draw in the NATO states to help them. That would be a really, really dangerous gamble on the part of the Ukraine government, because we're looking at a situation much like the Western incitement of rebellion during the communist period in Hungary in 1956 and Czech Republic and Czechoslovakia in 1968 and so on, where the U.S. is going to say, maybe it's not worth committing our armed forces to a confrontation which would take us nose to nose with a major nuclear power. So I think there are steps on both sides, the US and UK sides in particular, to escalate rhetoric and escalate maneuver in the hope that Russia will back down. Russia, however, has nowhere to go and will not back down, cannot back down. It sees the West, the NATO powers, actually doing exactly what President Reagan and Prime Minister Thatcher promised they would not do, which was to expand NATO and the European Union's influence further into the direct borderlands with Russia. So Russia feels compelled to hold its ground, and it will. And you've got the ethnic Russian population in eastern Ukraine, which is holding its ground. Certainly the Ukraine armed forces are getting better trained and better equipped. They're getting some significant but not strategic materials from the United Kingdom and the United States. Britain has just promised to put in its significant surface-to-surface missiles, the Brimstone missiles, which are quite effective at a tactical level. But this doesn't change the balance at all. And the UK is not going to put in direct forces there. So the reality is we have to step back. Ukraine, as a sovereign, independent country, really doesn't have a coherent existence outside of Russia. Let's face it, the Russian entity stems from Ukraine, and it's always been a mixed bag as to who owned which parts of what is now called Ukraine. But to say that it has a long sovereign history would be questionable. It, you know, the Lithuanian-Polish Empire contained much of it for a period of time. Russia contained it for a period of time. And in fact, the Kievan Rus basically are the basis for the Russian Orthodox people.
This remark from the foreign ministry in Russia. The Americans are painting a horrible picture of Russian tank armadas crushing Ukrainian cities. It is surprising to see a speed at which a formerly respectable foreign policy agency is turning into a mouthpiece of mendacious propaganda. Gregory, this is rough language. Rough language, is this routine for Kremlin, or is the Kremlin genuinely annoyed here? And does the Kremlin regard the U.S. talk of weaponry, the U.S. talk of advisors, the European Union talk of weaponry, does that regard it as a tripwire, a red line, whatever the metaphor is, obliging the Kremlin to move?
Well, the Kremlin, in fact, has to defend its interests. It should be horrified that the West has so broken its word on the spheres of influence and is making these allegations, which are basically without foundation. Sure, you've got the Russians exercising their attempt to regain influence in Ukraine overall. They already literally control the eastern part. But the Russians have to feel increasingly betrayed by the West, and particularly by the US, UK, and now, to a degree, Germany, over the sale of Russian gas to Germany.
The Times of London has grown grave about this and is writing editorials now about the risks here, the wrath of Putin, the wrath of the Kremlin. It's winter time. So I call upon your memory of Russian forces. And there's some great quotes about when you move and when you don't move. I do recall 1979, and the Soviet Union moved against Kabul and Afghanistan in 1979 around Christmas time, surprising the Carter administration and leading to a cacophony of voices around the world. Is that credible that the Kremlin would move against Ukraine at this time of year? Is it good for them? I'm given the understanding that they have an overwhelming force.
Well, they do, but as I said, I don't believe they're going to do it. They are there to maneuver and threaten and to make sure that they show determination. Only the West or Ukraine itself are going to force them into action, and I don't believe it's in the US or UK's or NATO's interest to force a direct military confrontation. The Ukrainian government may attempt to do so, but Russia knows how to handle them without allowing an escalation to a full international conflict. But so, yes, the Russians could do it. They can maintain a winter campaign. They do have that skill set and the technology to match it, and the Ukrainians do not. But I'm highly skeptical that anything will come of this except for Ukrainian-inspired incidents to attempt to maintain their leverage over the West, that they can basically force the West to give them support and aid. And bear in mind, you know, we talk about Russia as though it's a criminal country, and in fact it's never been more democratic than it is today. It's certainly competing for its own space in the world. And we talk about Ukraine as though it were a democratic country, not tainted by massive corruption and manipulation and illegal activities like selling nuclear weapons around the world to places like Iran. Ukraine is not the friend of the West. Yes, the West would like to gain some access to Ukraine's geography to give it greater leverage against Russia, but we are fooling ourselves if we believe this newspaper nonsense, whether it comes from the Thunderer, the old London Times, or any other source. The reality is these are players who are acting in their own interest, and the West should not allow itself to be distracted into that. And in fact, Trump was never distracted into that because he knew that he was not about to risk getting into a major war with anyone. And now we see an administration in Washington which seems to be risking war on a number of fronts.
One more detail from the London Times. air defense systems such as Stinger missiles, as well as Mi-17 helicopters, Javelin anti-tank missiles, and mortars are among the military equipment being discussed, according to sources close to the Biden administration. Are any of those weapon systems significant or could change the nature of the battlefield, or are those all small arms?
They're all relatively tactical. Ironically, the Mi-17s helicopters, which are very effective, are actually made in Russia. So they're probably the ones that the U.S. bought for the Afghan Air Force and have now moved out of country. The Javelins are fairly good anti-tank weapons. The one you didn't mention was the Brimstone from Britain, and that actually is fairly effective at a tactical level, but none of these are game changes at a strategic level. Ukraine doesn't have the depth required, the strategic depth, to support protracted military operations against Russia. Russia, on the other hand, would like to achieve its objectives without military operations. So, as I say, we keep going back to when will the Russians invade? My answer is they won't. But we may see some of the, if Ukraine triggers this to a high degree, then we might see those Russian language-speaking people in eastern Ukraine declaring their independence from Ukraine and allying themselves to Russia. That would be disastrous.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. There are too many crises, there's too little time, so we're going to rush to the Horn of Africa. There's news there from the State Department, the U.S. State Department, from the Prime Minister in Addis Ababa, and from concerns in Europe, especially London. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.